Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. And as I was waiting before the Lord as to what He would have me to share, He directed me to a few places in Scripture that I'd like to share with you today and the next few days following. But the general theme or subject in which I'd like to share is the dangers of self-reliance. There's a passage found in Psalm 62, verses 11 and 12, that I'd like to read to you right now. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this. That's the twice is the number of witness. And this is what is being declared, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou rendereth to every man according to his work. In this present world system in which we're living, there are so many influences, so many mindsets, paradigms that influence us as the church without even realizing it. That's why as we grow and mature and become strong in the ways of the Lord, we become more and more discerning as to what God's ways are. As I've been fond to say, a scripture that references the difference between God's people, there were the children of Israel who saw the mighty works of God. They saw how God subdued the Egyptians and delivered them out of that bondage of slavery and brought them out with a high hand. They continually saw His miracles. They saw His works. But it was Moses who declared, even after he had been in the very presence of God, up on the Mount Sinai, for 40 days and 40 nights, he didn't eat or drink because he was supernaturally sustained. That was not yet enough for him. The Lord says in His Word that He referred to Moses as His friend. He spoke with him face to face, not as one would deal with a prophet in which you would reveal dreams or visions. And yet Moses was not satisfied. He wanted more of God. He said, Lord, I beseech you, show me your glory. And then we know he was hid in the cleft of the rock and all the goodness and glory of the Lord passed by and he saw the Lord's hinder parts. And so, beloved, for us to grow in the knowledge of God, we have to understand His ways, and His ways are diametrically opposed. His ways are 180 degrees the opposite of what the world declares. To the natural man, the things of the Spirit, the things what the Word declares and exhorts us to be, are foolishness to him. The carnal man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He can't know them because they're spiritually discerned. Someone who's not saved is spiritually dead. But when we are born again, we then have the capacity through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit to be able to understand the deep things of God. For example, in this world, if you want to get ahead, if you want success, you have to hold on to everything you've got. Whereas in God's economy, if you will give, and that's true in every area, not just financially, it is then that you will receive. When we're weak, Paul said, that's when we can be strong, because it's the power of God operating. So you see, it takes a while as Christians to begin to fully separate from the world mentality and understand the things of God. And we have been given the Word of God as examples. We will learn from the pages of God's holy word. We will learn from the examples of the godly saints who have gone on before. And one especially beautiful representative of God's workings, if you will, is found in the life of David. And he is a very, he's of course a symbol of Christ, but there is an example in the life of David. He was a man after God's own heart. He did amazing things through the life of David, and yet we see that he was a man in fashion just like us. He loved God greatly, but he also sinned greatly. We're going to be looking at his life in a little more detail as we go into the book of 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles. However, for now, suffice to say that he represents for us in this generation the potential, the abilities that we possess as God's people. In the earthly reign of David, the kingdom of Israel expanded and increased in ways it never had before. Saul, if you remember, was the first king, but it was only under David that there became unity and security, fortifications that he did. He was a man of war. He expanded the nation of Israel to its furthest borders. There was victory, there was peace, there was prosperity, there was kingdom government. And this, especially the aspect of peace, reached its fulfillment during the reign of his son Solomon, at least in the beginning of his reign while he had a heart after God. And so we are going to be able to learn some things from the life of David. And before we actually go to Scripture, let's just take a moment to pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we're asking that the Holy Spirit will take these literal historical events that are recorded in the Bible, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, you will make it relevant and applicable to our lives, that we won't just be reading the events that occurred hundreds of years ago, but we will see the pertinence and the application for our own lives. Because, Lord, you've created the heart of man the same. We may live in hundreds of years separating one another as far as our natural lifetimes, but the heart of man, the nature of man, has not changed. And so, Father, we ask you to take our time together today, and as long as we're in this subject, Lord, that you will make it a word of exhortation to every one of us, and Lord, that we will desire to walk in all pleasing to you. And Lord, we thank you that this is the work the Holy Spirit does, and we give him free rein. We permit him, we give him permission to work in our lives. And then, Lord, for the results, the fruit, the harvest that is gained, we give you the honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, now let's start reading in 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter, and I'm going to read the first 5 verses. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab, he of course was the head of his military forces, and his servants with him, then all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Reba. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David, and said, "I am with child." Here we see one of the very low points in the reign of David. Instead of him going forth with the armies of Israel, as he had been wont to do, he had been established as king for some time. The kingdom was subdued, virtually, and he felt he was in a place that he didn't have to go out to battle. And in his time of staying home, his time of idleness, if you will, he was provided a very alluring and tempting temptation that was offered by the enemy. And of course, we see, you know, the weakness of all of our flesh. Jesus said to his disciples, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. David succumbed, we see, with very far-reaching consequences, as we read further in what happened in terms of his life. And now, let me read verse 11. I'm not going to read all of this chapter, but if you recall from your own reading that basically David tried to cover up his sin. And so he called for Uriah, and he was trying to get Uriah to go home, so at least perhaps Bathsheba could become pregnant in a what would appear to be a lawful way through her husband. And verse 11 declares, "And Uriah, who was Bathsheba's husband, said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go in my house to eat and drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing." See what a man of character he was. He refused to do the desirable thing, to just kind of take it easy, take a respite from the battle. But he was a man of integrity and of honor, and he was going to be faithful to the cause of the Lord, to the cause of God's people, and he wasn't going to desert and take time out to be at home and with his wife. Well, my time has flown by, and we're just barely getting into this message, but I pray that your schedule will allow to have you join me tomorrow at the same time. And if at any time you should happen to miss a broadcast or would like to rehear it, I invite you to go to unveilchrist.org, our website, and you can click on the broadcast and listen at any time at your convenience. But in the moments that remain, I'd like to invite you, if you have prayer needs, know that this ministry has been raised up by God for over 50 years to stand as a partner in prayer with God's people. And if the Holy Spirit is moving upon you, I invite you to write, because He has a reason for doing that. I'll personally pray for you and send back whatever the Lord gives, and that I know will be a blessing to you. Thank you for joining me. God bless you. Thank you for your prayer support and for your financial help to help us remain on this station. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.